And good morning. We're resuming our study on the church today. Two Sundays ago, we looked at the offices or the positions in the local church. The two that we covered were elder and deacon. Was that 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago? Thank you. The two that we covered were elder and deacon. We saw that the elders and deacons have specific qualifications laid out in Scripture, and that they have unique roles in the body of Christ. The elder has more of a shepherding responsibilities or a shepherding role, looking out for the flock, being able to teach, protecting from doctrinal error, things like that. And the deacon has responsibilities that require serving. Today we're transitioning into our next topic as we continue our study on the church, which is spiritual gifts. And as we study spiritual gifts, it could actually fall into two separate categories. Many times when you see this study, it doesn't come up under the doctrine of the church or the study of the church. Sometimes it comes up under the study of the Holy Spirit, which is in a different section of systematic theology, which is called pneumatology. So we're studying, mind the big words, but ecclesiology, which is the study of the church. Oftentimes it comes up under pneumatology, which is the study of the Spirit. So we are studying the spiritual gifts in the doctrine of the church because oftentimes we see those implemented in local church. We could see those spiritual gifts being implemented in our local church as well. But before we move on to this, we need to understand that there is a distinction between the offices in the church or positions in the church and the spiritual gifts. They're not the same. Spiritual gifts are gifts that are given by the Spirit to build up the church. A person can be in a church office or a position in the church and may not have the gift of evangelism or helps or giving. It can go the other way as well. A person may not be in a church office or in a position of the church, an elder or a deacon, and may show many of the spiritual gifts that you see in that office, such as exhortation, teaching, or helps. Many of those gifts we see in elders and deacons. Many elders have the gift of teaching, exhortation. Some have the gift of administration, the gift of pastor, teacher. Those aren't required of an elder. It's required that he's able to teach, but it isn't required that he has some of those gifts. And as we think of a deacon, he may have the gift of helps, giving, hospitality, but once again, that isn't required. It's required that he is serving. So church offices and gifts are not the same. So now we're moving on to spiritual gifts. The first one, what is a spiritual gift? Once again, a spiritual gift is a gift that is given by the Spirit to build up the church. And I get that from Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. We'll turn there. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. It says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. The gifts are given to the body to build up the body of Christ. And that can mean a couple things. To build up the body can mean to grow in number, and one of the gifts, as we look at them, helps achieve that. The gift of evangelism would help the body of Christ to grow in number. It also means to grow in maturity. We see that in verse 12. We also see that in verse 13 if we move on. Until we attain of the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So we see that a spiritual gift is something that is given to build up the church. That can mean to grow in number and to grow believers toward to maturity. Every time I try to seek out the biblical definition of a term, I try to see if there is a spot where it's laid out in Scripture where we see exactly what it is. Or you could also look at the word of it. The word in Greek is charisma. It is a form of grace. That goes back to the fact that a spiritual gift is a gift that is given by the Spirit. It's a free gift. It's grace. We also see a similar word all over Scripture. For one example, you don't have to turn there, as in Romans 3:24. It says, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So, justified as a gift by his grace. That word grace is from the same word. In this verse, it's charis. When it talks about a spiritual gift, it's charisma. So you get an idea of it being a gift or the freeness of it. The only scripture I found to include, and I'm not sure if you would say a definition of a spiritual gift, but you get a good idea of what it is in 1 Corinthians 12:7. We will turn there. We'll be in 1 Corinthians 12 quite a bit today. In fact, I'm going to start in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The way that that defines gifts is, you could see, instead of the word gifts, Paul uses a different word many times. He uses in verse 5, ministries, varieties of ministries. In verse 6, he says effects. And verse 7, he says each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. So you might see that those are all things that are related to spiritual gifts. From this description, Lewis Berry Chafer gives us a definition of this. He gets this from 1 Corinthians 12:7. He says, the Holy Spirit doing a particular service through the believer and using the believer to do it. And I'm not sure if that covers everything when we talk about spiritual gifts. We're going to, in a way, define it as we go through the many things that a spiritual gift is, as we talk about, and as in our outline, I think I just have general... What do I have? General observations about spiritual gifts, and that's about the best way I can outline it there. So we're going to move on to passages here. I heard a really good way to remember this as I was studying. Andy Woods I don't know if you'd say a tool or whatever, but he remembers this by 12:12:4:4. And that's a pretty good memory tool. It covers all the passages with lists of spiritual gifts: Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. So it's a pretty good way to remember that. I have these lists written down here in our outline. I'd actually like us to go and read through all of these, and I'm going to take volunteers as we go along. They're listed under passages there. If I could have someone read Romans 12, 6 through 8, please. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Go ahead. Sorry. I'm also going to put these up on the PowerPoint as we go along here. Just in that passage, we have prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and mercy. And if someone could read the next passage, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11.
But it is the same God which worship all in began rapidly with. For is one given by the Spirit, the word was given to another word of knowledge by the Spirit.
And continue on to verse 11 there.
But all that those that were that one himself same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as well, several as.
So in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11, we have wisdom, knowledge, faith, and healing. We'll move on to 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 28, if someone could read that. And you could actually move on to all the way to the end of the chapter there. I won't have you do that, but but we have miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Is that the right passage there? Oops, give me a... Nope, there we go. Let me move back to 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, in the next slide, which is the same passage. Miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. When we go to the passage we just read, 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 28, we have apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helps, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, I'll have someone read that. In that passage, we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we have one last passage here. 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. So 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. I'm not going to say these are, it's not the same as the other passages where he just lists out all these different gifts. But he's saying that you should employ your gift if you have received one, because you are now a steward of that gift that you have received. And we have those who speak and those who serve. And I believe that those are more general categories in that passage. But the reason I wanted to do that is where we get our list of gifts from in the scripture. I'm going to read through all of them here. We have 18 that we have seen in those passages. There might be some that I missed too, I don't know. But we have prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, helps, apostle, effecting of miracles, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and pastor teacher. We're actually just going to move on from there. I just wanted you to see the passages in which we find those spiritual gifts, and we also get our list of gifts from that. We're going to move on to general observations about that. We'll get back to that, too. I'm not just going to overlook that, but some general observations about spiritual gifts as we move on. The first one is that all believers are given a spiritual gift. This is seen, once again, in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to turn back there again. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. All believers are given a spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. But to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And the emphasis there, each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit. And we know he's talking about gifts there because of verse 4. He's using that term manifestation of the Spirit instead of spiritual gifts. But to each one is given a spiritual gift. We see that also in 1 Corinthians 12, 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So there is not a believer who doesn't have a spiritual gift, whether they realize it or not, or whether they exercise it or not. Every believer does have a spiritual gift. The second general observation is that the Holy Spirit gives the gifts. And it's interesting as we go through this, you'll see the Holy Spirit give the gifts. You'll also see God give the gifts. You'll also see that the risen Christ, or the resurrected Christ, gives the gifts as well. But I'm going to put the emphasis here on the Spirit because they are called spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts. This is also seen in verse 11, 1 Corinthians 12, 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Notice also there the pronoun that's used, he, just as he wills. The Holy Spirit is a person. But the Holy Spirit is the one that distributes the gifts to each one individually. It is up to the sovereign decision of God. It is up to God to decide who gets what gifts. This reminds me of a passage in Romans 9. We don't have to turn there, but I want you to listen to this. Romans 9, 20 through 21. It says, "On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, 'Why did you make me like this, will it?' Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use?" That's not really talking about spiritual gifts in that passage, but it is talking about the sovereignty of God. And when it comes to the sovereignty of God, we can't question God's decisions on things. And as we think about the Holy Spirit giving the gifts, and it is up to the sovereign decision of God to give the gifts, this keeps us from complaining amongst ourselves. Why are we not like someone else? Or why has God not given us the same gifts as someone else? It's up to the sovereign decision of God. We could be content with what we have because we know that what we have has been gifted freely by the Spirit and the sovereign will of God. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 as well. I want to read this verse. 1 Corinthians 12, 18. And we also see in this passage, God gives the gifts, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. I think in Ephesians 4, we see Christ giving the gifts as well. So that's an interesting thing about the Trinity there. The third observation is that the gifts differ from one another. As we look at the biblical illustration, we have arms, eyes, legs, each of them perform an important function. You say the same thing in the body of Christ. The first difference that I see in this passage is that some gifts aren't, and I'm not sure if this is the right word, aren't as noticeable as others. You might say as prestigious. The passage says not as honorable, so I like the term. They differ in noticeability first. And the scripture says to those gifts that aren't as noticeable, we should bestow even more honor. This is from 1 Corinthians 12, 22 through 25. 1 Corinthians 12, 22 through 25. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. To sum up that section there, there are gifts which appear to be more prestigious than others. We should bestow more honor and encouragement to those that aren't in those positions. So I want to ask you right here, what spiritual gift do you think wouldn't be as noticeable in the body of Christ as others? What spiritual gifts would you think would be less noticeable?
Mercy.
That's a good one. Yep. Any others? And we could see that list of gifts there on that outline as well. What? Yeah.
If you're given
giving, yeah. That's not very noticeable, right? And sometimes you don't want to be noticed as you're giving. That's not the right way to give, so that's a less noticeable gift for sure. Maybe even helps working in the background, serving in a way behind the scenes. So faith, yeah. Teaching is very noticeable, yeah. So to sum up that, you might say prestige, noticeability. The other way that gifts differ from one another, and Scripture does make this clear that some gifts are more important to the functioning of the body than others, and that might seem like a weird thing to say, but we're going to see that in Scripture here. First, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. It says, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues." And Paul uses numbers here to show that these gifts are greater. It's interesting that in Paul's mind that these first three were greater than miracles, healing, and tongues. That's an interesting note there, because you would think that if you have something like miracles or something like tongues or healing, that would be more important. But Paul uses first, second, third to show that these first three gifts are greater than the others. Also, 1 Corinthians 14, 4 through 5. 1 Corinthians 14, 4 through 5. This gives kind of the reasoning behind what I just said here. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy, and greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may receive edifying. And notice at the very end of that passage there, so that the church may receive edifying. And there was an issue in the Corinthian church that they were being puffed up by their gifts and focusing on the gifts that were of lesser importance. They were edifying themselves by speaking in tongues. And Paul's saying here that it's more important to teach clearly so that everyone can know what is spoken and to seek for the edification of the church. So the observations there, the gifts differ from one another. They differ in noticeability. They also differ in importance. And some gifts are more important for the edification of the church. And moving on to the fourth observation here about spiritual gifts, is that the gifts do not determine, you might say, an individual's value or success. They don't determine an individual's value or success. Just because someone has a gift doesn't mean that that individual is more or less valuable, as we saw in the previous section there. I forgot what terms he uses, but an arm and a leg are just as important as the head to the body. I have it right here. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. That's 1 Corinthians 12:21. So the gift does not determine the value of an individual, and the gift also doesn't determine whether or not that individual will be successful in their giftedness or in their ministry. One example we see of this, once again, is the Corinthians. In the Corinthian church, there were those that were speaking in tongues. You might say they were gifted. And yet, as they practiced their gifts, they were failing to fulfill the very purpose of their gifts, which was to edify the church. So just because someone has a gift doesn't mean that that individual will be successful in what they do, and it doesn't mean that they'll be practicing their giftedness in the right way. There are also many individuals who never use their gifts. There may be multiple reasons behind this. They may not know their giftedness. So their gift is there, but they don't know it. And once again, every Christian does have a spiritual gift, so they might not know what it is. They also may have never tried what they're gifted in. They might have never tried speaking or teaching. They might have never tried serving or giving in the local body of church. Another reason that that might be is maybe they've never studied spiritual gifts so that they don't know that they ought to be practicing their giftedness in the body of Christ. Maybe it is sin keeping them from growing as a believer and causing them not to use their gifts. So the observation there is that gifts don't determine an individual's value. They also don't guarantee their success in their giftedness. All sorts of things can get in the way, as we have seen. The fifth observation we have here, and this isn't going to be the last one. We're going to see some other things as we get to the end here. But spiritual gifts are not natural talents. Spiritual gifts aren't natural talents. And I want to be careful how I word this, because a spiritual gift, once again, is a gift that is given by the Spirit. And once again, every believer is given a spiritual gift. Since it is given by the Holy Spirit, this is not a natural talent. It differs from that, but a spiritual gift. An unbeliever can have a natural talent, and those things can benefit mankind. A spiritual gift is something that's different. It benefits the body of Christ particularly. It can be often difficult to distinguish between the two sometimes, that which is a natural talent and a spiritual gift, and they are different. I also want to say that I do believe that God can take an unbeliever, they can get saved, and they might already be a good teacher. I believe that God can change that into the gift of teaching, but they are different. As an unbeliever, that wouldn't be the gift of teaching. As a believer, maybe now they do have that spiritual gift of teaching. So as we go through these five observations about spiritual gifts, I believe that does a lot better, gives us a much better definition, you might say, about what a spiritual gift is. We are going to look at these gifts individually and see what they mean. I'm not sure how much I'm going to talk about each spiritual gift. We could go on and on about this. There is one question that I can't ignore here, which is, are all the spiritual gifts for today? Are all the spiritual gifts for today? Is every spiritual gift that we have gone through something that should be practiced in the body of Christ today? And I understand that this can be a very divisive issue, And my goal here isn't to cause division as we go through this. There can and are believers on both sides of this issue. As you look at our church, you could probably figure out where we're at on this issue, and we don't seek to hide anything from you either there. So here I'm going to start by reading Bark River Bible Church's doctrinal statement on this issue. This is where I would land as well. But I'm not going to leave you just with that either, because there's scriptural reasons why we believe what we believe as we go through this. But Bark River Bible Church's doctrinal statement says that we believe that God is sovereign in the bestowment of all his gifts, and the gifts of evangelists, pastors, and teachers are sufficient for the perfecting of the saints today. That comes from Ephesians 4. And that speaking in tongues and the working of sign miracles gradually ceased as the New Testament scriptures were completed and their authority became established. So I'm not going to leave you there. We're going to talk into this more next time we're together. And I'm not sure how far I'll go into this either. It's difficult for me to decide which things I want to talk about sometimes and which things I don't. But we are going to acknowledge that there are different views on this issue. We have charismatics. I'm not sure what I have put in this outline here. I'm going to look at that real quick to see if I put... Yeah, I do have some different terms there. We have charismatics, continuationists, Pentecostals. That first school of thought on this issue, they could be called the continuationists as opposed to the cessationists. That second point, cessationism, is that what I put? Cessationist. That would speak to the fact that they believe that there's either that all the spiritual gifts have ceased, cessationism, or that some of those gifts have ceased. So this first school of thought, they would believe that all the gifts of the Spirit are still active today. They would look at the beginning of Acts in the Scripture and see these gifts at work, and they would say that that's what our church ought to be doing today. The second school of thought, as I said, there's some in this group that believe that all the spiritual gifts have ceased. Our church doesn't fall into that category. Once again, from our doctrinal statement, that it says specific things here, that speaking in tongues and the working of sign miracles gradually ceased as the New Testament scriptures were completed and became established. So there's also a group of cessationists that believe that, you know, gifts have ceased, and that others have not. I also want to say that we're not just picking and choosing what we want to choose from the scripture. We're not saying, hey, I like that gift and I don't like that one, so I don't believe that one's in function today. That's not what we're doing. We have a reason what we believe from scripture. And also, generally speaking, we have a list of gifts that are undisputed, which almost every church would believe it's in function today. And then we have these disputed gifts, and I have those listed in the outline as well. So the undisputed gifts would be service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, mercy, wisdom, faith, pastor, teacher. Those would be generally undisputed. The disputed gifts would be apostles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, knowledge, healing, effecting of miracles, and tongues. So that is where I'm going to actually leave us today. Part of the reason is because I don't want to start into it and not finish it. The other reason is I want to furthermore decide what I want to teach on the subject and what I don't. So that is where we're going to end today. And we are going to get into it. We don't just say this is the way it is. We're going to look at Scripture and see what Scripture has to say about it. So with that, we're going to close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your teaching from the Word. I pray that as we go along here, that things would be presented clearly and that you would lead me along in this subject. I also pray that as we go along here, that we would see that some of these gifts in our own lives and that we would learn how to implement them better, or maybe even start learning something new as we see that we might be gifted in an area, and that you would lead us along in that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.